D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Happy New Year. Per the laws of Larry David, you're allowed to say that until January 7th. Derek Mason, nope. We don't have time for this yet.
We'll talk about that later.
Derek Mason said something certifiably insane before the show, which we will get to. But we want to start with some breaking Titans news, courtesy of Adam Schefter. He writes, quote, Tennessee, meaning the Titans, has restructured its front office to have Titans GM Mike Borgonzi spearhead the team's head coaching search and control the team's 53-man roster. He now will report directly to Titans owner Amy Adams Strunk. Chad Brinker will continue to oversee the salary cap, research and development, and analytics. Neither person's title changes, but there is now a clear delineation of duties, and the two men agreed on the adjusted front office format, that courtesy of Adam Schefter. So once again, Tennessee has restructured its front office. Mike Borgonzi will spearhead the head coaching search and control the 53-man roster. He now reports directly to Amy Adams Strunk. So Derek, your initial reaction to that news as we await Willie Donick.
New Year's resolutions by one Amy Adams Strunk. Get my house in order so people knows who's who and what's what and who's doing what. And I hope and I do believe this is the step that needed to be made. Now, what they do behind the scenes, okay. But there had to be a true delineation between who does what and with who. And for the longest, we just didn't know. It was all a collaborative thing. That was the word, collaborative. Everybody's, you know, everybody's checking everybody, and nobody has one say over the other except the owner. Now there's a true delineation on who has the responsibility of not only finding a new head coach, but building this roster so that we can now either way point to either good or bad. This is the reason why the Tennessee Titans are getting better, or this is the reason why the Tennessee Titans aren't. We know exactly who's doing the picking of the players along with the coaches. I understand you have to make sure you get the players that the coaches want or believe they can run in their system. But also, it's, you know, hiring of the coach. And I know which direction I want to go in as far as organization and as far as the GM. So, to me, I think this may have been some of the best news we've heard from the Tennessee Titans in a while.
We welcome in Willie Donick, live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Paul Kaharsky writes, quote, Mike Borgonzi isn't getting a new title, but he's getting new power. He now has final say over Titans' 53-man roster. He will report directly to Amy Adams Strunk like Chad Brinker. He will also lead the search for coach. Change comes out of conversations from a year of Brinker and Borgonzi working together and makes things clear for head coaching candidates. Brinker will still have a heavy influence in the football operation. Seems like the smart path to me. That was Paul Kaharsky just now on social media. Willie, your reaction to this news?
Well, it's brand new to me. My first thought, my first question really, is what will change between Borgonzi and Brinker? Because I don't know how they interact behind the scenes already. So what prompted this move? Was Borgonzi feeling a little squeezed by Brinker? And did he ask Amy Adams Strunk for a little bit more freedom or a little more control? These are just the questions that I have coming to mind. I agree with what you're saying, Derek. You know, it's nice to have a little bit more clarity on who has say over what, but, you know, I guess I didn't sense a lot of friction during the season between those two, so I wonder what changes.
Yeah, you do wonder what changed behind the scenes. Maybe, you know, hiring the best coach means having structure on if I'm a head coach, I need to know coming in who's making the decisions. Who do I need to go to try to get this roster the way I want to?
Not to interrupt, Derek. We do have a statement from Amy Adams Strunk on this, so I will do my best to.
These are always great.
Here is a statement from Amy Adams Strunk. Titans fans, As we conclude our season this Sunday and approach the offseason, we remain more dedicated than ever to you, this team, Nashville, and the entire state as we build a strong foundation for the future. A few weeks ago, Chad and Mike approached me to discuss their evaluation of this past season. Over the past few years, several job descriptions in our football organization were established to address specific situations and challenges that existed at the time. After working together for the past year, they believe, and I agree, there is long-term benefit to clarifying and honing the focus areas of our football leadership. For that reason, we're returning to a front office that feels more straightforward to them and to me. Going forward, Mike will serve as general manager in the most traditional sense, pick and support the players, oversee the coaching staff, while Chad will continue to lead everything else about the football team. For example, Mike will manage the 53-man roster and lead the head coach search. Chad will continue to serve as president of football operations, leading strategic functions including salary cap management, analytics, research and development, and other football departments. Both will report to me. And their collective goal is to return the football team to the championship caliber you deserve. We are forever grateful for your loyalty and support. I genuinely believe the best is yet to come for the Tennessee Titans and soon. Tighten up, Amy Adams Strunk. Willie, your thoughts.
I think my question still remains is they both felt the need to go to Amy to talk about that. What was different? What was Brinker doing before? Was he all up in Mike Borgonzi's business? You know, was he interfering with his ability to do the job? It sounds good. It sounds like it makes total logic, right? What they're saying there. But I wonder what's the dynamic change? Why did they feel like they needed to go do this?
I do wonder if this is not something that I imagine came into the overall decision making, but anything that puts Chad Brinker off to the side, I think is a good thing because Titans fans still associate Chad Brinker, Derek, with all of the bad that's been happening in recent years.
That's a good point.
Chad Brinker's off to the side. Mike Borgonzi's in charge. Who's picking the players? Mike Borgonzi. Who's leading the head coaching search? Mike Borgonzi. I think this is good to put Chad Brinker in the corner. He still has a lot of responsibilities, but when it comes to leading the football front office, Mike Borgonzi is in charge, and I think that's a good thing for helping Titans fans feel more at ease, perhaps, with how things are going.
And so maybe he's not Derek at the press conference now. Maybe it's just Borgonzi when they bring the coach up there, and Brinker falls to the backdrop instead of having them both try to answer the same questions.
It could be. Maybe Brinker is still up there. In some capacity, more so toward the end of the season when they're doing their exit sort of interviews and state of the team and where they want it to be. So maybe that's when you see sort of Brinker, because it does involve sort of the part of the organization that he handles. But outside of that, this signals to me they want one voice. That's what it signals to me. When you have a head coach coming in, you want to hire the best head coach. There has to be one voice in the room. There has to be a guy that there can't be two guys that the head coach figure he has to go to try to get something done. Has to be one guy, the GM. The places that I've been, whether it's here in Nashville or in Baltimore, that's how it was. The GM had to say, pick the players, you know, coaching staff, whatnot. The Titans had been out of alignment for a very long time. Now, I truly believe that this may have been, and again, like you said, Willie, we don't know how much truly will change, you know, early on as far as how they communicate. We know what they're telling us, and what they're telling us is what they haven't told us in prior years is that the GM, in all sense of the word GM, the traditional sense, that will be Borgonzi. We haven't heard that in some years. So now she's trying to get back to that, and I hope that this continues, because honestly, when the Titans were successful, this is how it was.
Can we put to bed the word collaboration? Do we have to hear that anymore?
I hope not.
Are we putting it on the list, Adam? Are we putting it on the
banned list?
We can't.
We haven't added a word to the ban list in quite some time.
It's true. And definitely not in 2020.
We can retire it.
We can retire the word collaboration. Because, look, Borgonzi and Brinker will collaborate, but clearly we know who's in charge. Mm-hmm. Remember how many times we talked about who has final say, who has final say, who's picking the players, who's doing this, who's doing that. Now we don't have to worry about that anymore.
That's
the answer
true.
Is
and
Mike
I, but
Borgonzi.
I also wonder, yes, and I also wonder, too, and this is total speculation because I don't know at all what goes on in that building every day. But I wonder if Borgonzi, after being there a few months and seeing the challenges ahead for this team, and there are big challenges, that somewhere in here, either, I don't want to say by force, but with a firm way or just maybe in a good professional way, let's hope it was like that, that he went to Brinker and said, Chad, look, I like what you're doing, but you got to let me run this. I need to run this. If I'm going to go down, I need to go down as the GM. And I want your help, but I think we'll be better off, like Derek said, is if I'm perceived as the guy that's running it. Does that make sense? Like, that would make sense to me. That's logical, but I have no idea if that actually happened or not.
And I imagine, Derek, that prospective coaching candidates, as they were looking at all of the openings and possible openings, were wondering, who the hell would I report to in Tennessee? Who would my boss be? And now you don't have to worry about that. I also do wonder what this means for the head coaching search. For example, we know that Mike Borgonzi has a relationship with Matt Nagy. We know that Chad Brinker has a relationship with Mike McCarthy. Do we move Matt Nagy ahead of Mike McCarthy on the list because Brinker's running the head coaching search? That doesn't mean that Borgonzi may not want to interview Mike McCarthy, but I would imagine his relationship with Nagy is more important now than it would have been before.
Well, if she's saying that one of his responsibilities as a GM in its traditional form is to pick the head coach and the players, then he's going to be the guy, whether it's Mike McCarthy or Nagy. Which one of these guys? I understand that one has a relationship with the other, and so be it, but it doesn't mean that these guys don't know each other, period. Pick the right guy, regardless if you have a relationship like that with him or not. And I think they put Borgonzi in a space where he's going to do that. Now, whether it works out, we don't know, but at least we can attribute directly to why it didn't work. Or you picked the wrong guy. They said he picked him. Well, a couple of people that can't, they said this guy. Well, now we know. If things work out, we know who to get a praise to. If things don't, then we know who to put the blame on.
Let's go to Mark in Nashville on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hunter.com. What you got for us, Mark?
Yeah, how y'all doing? Hey, Happy New Year, Adam, Willie, D-May.
Thank you, Mark.
Happy New Year, Mark.
It's fitting that you're the first caller of 2026, Mark.
It's fitting.
hey, man, ain't that good? Hey, man, Sugar Free said tell y'all hi, man. So
Sugar Free, we say hello and Happy New
That's
Year.
That's right. Yeah, she's had a damn good New Year, so there you go. But that is a good decision that Adam Strunk made by letting Borgonzi lead the charge. Adam, I kind of question why you keep saying Matt Nagy, though, because he doesn't call plays. I know he works out there with Andy Reid, but I'm just not really sold on Matt Nagy.
Well, it's not about that, Mark. It's the fact that Matt Nagy works in Kansas City. Mike Borgonzi worked in Kansas City. So I imagine he's going to get an interview based off of that relationship. That's why I brought it up.
Oh, okay. I got you then, Adam. Hey, I know y'all going to be talking about this later. D-Mace, you won your game the other day. Vanderbilt hates
yes,
you now, man.
So man that, I hate it.
But you won, though.
Yes.
I don't know if Adam won his bowl game. But Adam,
it's
Adam,
not looking D-Mace good right now. 34-7 Texas State against Rice. So it's not looking good. Derek Mason has one silly underdog picks. Congratulations to Derek.
Oh, yeah. But hey, D-Mace.
Yes.
It was a black day, New Year's Day yesterday. As we watched Alabama just get punked out of the Rose Bowl the way they did.
Yeah.
I hate to say that because I'm an Alabama fan, always have been. But, man, that program is going down, straight down to the dogs. It's really sad, man. And I wouldn't have let DeBoer or that defensive coordinator. You're not getting on this airplane going back to Tuscaloosa. It's over. you got to go. I know they owe them a lot of money, but I just hate to see a program go down like that. They look like a Pac-12 program, and like they were out there playing finesse. It's hard to believe Alabama played that way. But, hey, Adam, Willie, D-Mace, Happy New Year's again. Y'all have a great weekend. And, Willie, think about what I talked to you about the other day. You didn't get to answer me. But y'all have a good weekend, man. We out.
Thank you, Mark.
Let's go to Steven on our phone line. Steven, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, I hope the Titans hire somebody that's been there and has done it before, whether that's defensive or offensive. But what I was really calling about is how amazingly these teams let these OCs that get them there go. So, in particular, you're talking the Chicago Bears head coach, Ben Johnson. Anybody that watched the Lions knew Ben Johnson was the guy that ran it. He was not the guy talking about biting off kneecaps. Now, look, he's gone, and dude is literally looking around, not even making the playoffs when they literally have enough weapons to win the Super Bowl. And the same thing with the Falcons back in the day. Yeah, they messed up on that Super Bowl, but with Kyle Shanahan. So it's one of those things, like, it's almost like, no matter who we hire as head coach, we need to identify a staff, bring it in, and if we have a rising superstar on that staff, do not let him go. I just see that, and it just blows my mind. But thanks for letting me on, and y'all have a great new year.
Thank you, Steven. And we will talk more, of course, about the coaching search now that the season is about to end. The Titans play their final game of the season on Sunday at Jacksonville. The Jaguars need a win to win the AFC South. But we want your reaction. 615-737-1025. The Titans have restructured, sort of, kind of, their front office. Mike Borgonzi will serve as general manager in the most traditional sense, according to a statement by Amy Adams Strunk. He will pick and support the players, oversee the coaching staff, while Chad Brinker will continue to lead everything else about the football team. Mike Borgonzi will lead the coaching search as well. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to that all show long on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But coming up next, Vanderbilt head basketball coach Mark Byington will join the program. The undefeated Commodores open SEC play tomorrow afternoon at South Carolina, a game you can hear right here on 102.5 The Game. So we will catch up with Mark Byington and to get back into your reaction to the Titans news, sort of, kind of, restructuring the front office, basically doing what most front offices do. No more convoluted job titles and all that other stuff. 615-737-1025. If you're looking for a good spot to watch NFL games this Sunday, come by Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29 Degree Beer, and join 102.5 The Game for the final pregame show of the season before the Titans take on the Jaguars. The pregame show is brought to you by Tennessee Brewworks and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We will get back into the Titans conversation shortly, but before we do that, let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Vanderbilt head basketball coach Mark Byington. The Commodores, the undefeated Commodores, open SEC play tomorrow afternoon at South Carolina. Hi, Mark. How are you?
What's up, guys? Happy New Year.
You as well. So, Mark, your team has already exceeded outside expectations by being one of the few remaining undefeated teams in the country. But in what areas has your team exceeded your own expectations so far this season?
Well, really what I do is I don't place expectations like you're probably the questions being asked. And the reason is because you can surpass them and then kind of get caught up in that, or you might not meet them. It's kind of a wasted energy to kind of be dejected on that. So it really is the here and now. And it's not something that we talk about with our team about rankings or being undefeated or anything like that. You know, we kind of just keep it, you know, singular focus. And right now we're trying to go 1-0 on Saturday, and that's it. That's our only goal. And what's behind us is behind us, and what's too far in the front of us is too far. And just doing that to peace of mind and putting everything you can in the possible games, especially as SEC games. And then, you know, try to do what you can to try to win. And then whatever happens, you got to move on to the next.
You have multiple players who have helped you get off to this start. I want to ask you about Tyler Nickel, who has been one of the most impressive offensive players in the country so far. Where has he taken the biggest steps year over year?
Well, he's so consistent in his everyday approach. And, I mean, he's the same person every single day. And his attitude, his work ethic, you know, how he comes into the gym. And so, but him having success and him having a consistent year and playing well, it's not surprising. You know, I think the biggest thing with him is it's us finding him more, you know, as a team. That includes me as a coach. And then our guys are really sharing the ball well. And he's been, you know, someone who's really, you know, benefited off that.
We'll talk with Vanderbilt's head basketball coach, Mark Byington, who's opening up their SEC play against South Carolina this Saturday. And now, Coach, that Memphis game was a physical game for y'all. I don't think I saw many whistles being called. They allowed you guys to play. You played a physical game. You won in overtime. But then you come back and you beat Wake Forest. What did you learn about your team in that process? Because they go and they play a tough physical game, and then a week later they come and play. They go to Winston-Salem and play Wake Forest, and they pretty much had their way with them.
Yeah, I mean, it's two separate games, but the one thing was similar is being on the road. And, you know, going to Memphis, you know, NBA arena, and there's a lot of different things. And they play a style that's it almost takes you out of rhythm. They play out of rhythm, which takes you out of rhythm. And so we had our chances there. We were up 11, 12, 13, and thought we might extend it. But, you know, then they came back. And the biggest thing I was proud of that game is we went to overtime and we didn't flinch. And we went to overtime. We made the plays we had to in overtime to get the win and get a road win. And Wake Forest, we just had a different level of focus and intensity about us. It was, you know, it wasn't a game of being distracted about to go on a holiday break or anything else. And they had a great road environment. But our guys had a real singular focus of coming in. And then we started right from the opening tip and kept on going the entire 40 minutes.
We're talking to Mark Byington, head coach, Vanderbilt Commodores. And, Coach, I had a great breakfast with Eddie Fogler, my coach, back in the day. He was about to come to practice that day, or maybe he had been at your practice the day before. Kevin Englund was there, another good former player.
Yeah, tremendous coach.
We had a great,
the great coach.
Yeah, absolutely a great coach. We had a fun conversation just sort of assessing Tyler Tanner, and we all agreed what a great freshman year he had, but I don't think we had any idea that he was going to be able to make the jump that he's made so far. He looks like he has gained a couple of different levels. What have you seen? What do you think was the key to him making this kind of progress?
Well, I mean, he got a lot of experience last year, and the SEC was the toughest league ever. I mean, not just in the country, but historically ever. And he had a lot of things to build off of going through that season. And then, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, he's gotten better, but, you know, we've put in way more on his shoulders. And it wasn't something that we were worried about him being ready for, but he's responded in all these different ways. He's changed his body. He's smarter. He's really got a good feel of the game and seeing the game, and he impacts the game in every possible level. You know, it's leadership, it's offense, it's defense, it's making intangible plays, and so I think, you know, with extended minutes and extended responsibility, he's really come through on that.
Another thing that I've been impressed with, Mark, is that you've now, for a second year in a row, incorporated a lot of new guys that have come in, and they've done a lot of good things in other places, and it seems to really mesh very well. What have you learned in a real quick time period where everything changed so fast, at how to put guys together and get that chemistry?
Well, I mean, the big thing from this year is we returned three guys, and that doesn't seem like much, but that's better than returning zero guys. And so, you know, with Devin McLaughlin and two of the Tylers you mentioned, Tyler Nickel and Tyler Tanner, we were already steps ahead of where we were the previous year. And then it was filling in the guys that have to do multiple things. I mean, they have to care about winning and care about each other and obviously be talented enough to play in the SEC and do what we're trying to do. So, you know, it's just a start. You know, 2025 was great. 2026 is obviously going to be tremendously, you know, difficult and challenging and what you have to go through in this league. But the groups come together throughout this. So I still think we got many ways we can grow and improve.
One thing I notice is, especially relative to a lot of Vanderbilt teams that I've seen, you've got so many guys that are able to make a play. They can get their own shot if they need to. But knowing that there's a lot of guys that can do it, there's an art form. Like Duke Miles could probably go get a shot every time he's got the ball, but they seem to share the ball very well, and they seem to be able to have that balance between I can go get this basket or what's the best way to get the basket.
Well, so much it goes into making the right decision. And, you know, as a coach, you're trying to put them in the right spot to be able to have them make the decision. But they still got to execute it and do it. And it's deciding, all right, is it my shot or somebody else's? And it sounds simple, but when you're going against the athleticism and the pace of the game and everything else, it's not that easy. But these guys are processing information quickly. And it is a contagious thing when – everybody's sharing the ball and everybody's making the right play. You won't find the one guy who's being selfish thinking, all right, well, somebody else is doing it, so I better do it. It's actually the opposite, the good part of contagious of unselfishness.
You lost a really good player. He's injured right now in Frankie Collins. How has that affected your rotation? And obviously you guys have a lot of depth, but what changes without him?
Yeah, I mean, Mike James, who's his minutes have been extended, and Tyler Harris are the main two. And, you know, they're ready for bigger opportunity and you know, more things put on them, more minutes and the game time. So, you know, they were ready to step in even before this. And, you know, we'll get Frankie back. You know, it's not a season-ending injury. We'll get him back. But in the meantime, I think we can get even stronger because those two guys that's missing keep on growing.
What do you see from South Carolina? It's never easy to win on the road in the SEC. What challenges do you see from them?
Yeah, I mean, they only lost one game at home, and going on the road is difficult. I mean, luckily, we've been there three times this year. And so that was purposeful, kind of getting ready for some SEC play. But their point guard is terrific. He was all-conference a couple years ago, Michi Johnson. He can shoot it from half court, exceptionally quick. But then the thing that always stands out with the South Carolina teams, you can even see it last year where they kind of lost some close games, was they play very physical. And, you know, it's a team that, you know, if you're a little bit off, they're going to make it, you know, a grind game and tough and physical game. And they're going to start winning the loose balls and different things like that. So it's a terrific player in Michi Johnson, but also it's our mentality of how we're going to be able to, you know, come into that arena and try to get a win.
Vanderbilt head basketball coach Mark Byington has been our guest on D-Mace. Vingan and Donick, the Commodores return to action tomorrow to open SEC play at South Carolina. Mark, thank you so much for your time. Good luck tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Vanderbilt, undefeated Vanderbilt, number 11 in the country at 13-0, takes on the South Carolina Gamecocks tomorrow in Columbia, a 1 p.m. start. Pregame starts at 12:30 right here on 102.5.
And where am I? Where am I, Adam? Canada. You can't watch the game.
Man.
Here. Come on.
Oof. Man, too bad, Willie. Jeez. I'll tell you about it. I'll let you know what's going on.
I'm going to listen to my guys, Kevin Ingram and Tim Thompson. They're gonna be my eyes tomorrow, guys. Well, so if you're listening, Kevin, you got me.
If they shoot the way they shot against Wake Forest, I mean, it's going to be hard
they,
for anybody.
They may not lose a game if they shoot
exactly,
like that.
Exactly, man. But if they play with the toughness in the physicality that they did against Memphis, it's going to be hard to beat a Vanderbilt team too, because they were physical last year. I think they've gotten even more physical, and now they have better shooting.
Just don't tell.
A little more size. Yes. Well, I think that's the big thing too, is their size is more capable of matching up with the bigger teams in the SEC. So last year we know that was an issue every time they played against. Yes. They were amazing last year, how they scrapped their way through that. But they were very undersized. This year they've got a couple guys with more length.
Just don't tell Willie where Joe Lunardi has Vanderbilt on his latest.
I saw it. It jumped in front of me. I didn't want to see it, but it's up there.
Willie has a strict no looking at bracketology until late February, early March policy.
Not that February, like Valentine's Day.
Okay,
that's cool. Valentine's Day is okay.
All right, you've got about 6 more weeks to avoid bracketology. Yes. By the way, they had Joe Lunardi had him as a number 2 seed, but we'll discuss that at another
moment.
They've
got 18 SEC.
Anyway. We'll continue to take your reaction to the news that broke right as we came on the air from the Tennessee Titans. Amy Adams-Strunk put out a statement saying that Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi approached her a few weeks ago and were discussing the football organization, the job descriptions in the football organization, all of those things. And now because of that, quote, we're, meaning the Titans, this is from Amy Adams Strunk, we're returning to a front office that feels more straightforward to them and to me, meaning Brinker and Borgonzi. Going forward, Mike will serve as general manager in the most traditional sense, pick and support the players, oversee the coaching staff, while Chad will continue to lead everything else about the football team. For example, Mike will manage the 53-man roster and lead the head coach search. So that's the major part of it. Your reaction, 615-737-1025. John from Nashville on our text line says, I'm happy with the restructuring, but now Chad Brinker is getting paid a bleep load of money to pick out uniforms, LOL. How do I get that job? Now, Chad Brinker, the things that he's going to be doing, those are important things. Mm-hmm. But as I said before, Derek, I think the most important thing, and this feels really just like, I don't want to downgrade it by calling it a PR stunt, but it kind of feels like a PR stunt. The most important thing from a perception standpoint, optics, is that Chad Brinker is no longer the figurehead in the Titans front office. That's Mike Borgonzi. The most important things that fans want to know, who's picking the players, and in the case of the Titans, who is leading the head coaching search? The answer to both of those questions is now Mike Borgonzi. There's not this, well, who's doing this and who's doing that? The palace intrigue, the supreme ruler of football, is no more in Chad Brinker. He no longer is the supreme ruler.
No, and I think this is what the fan base, you know, want it. And I think it's probably what's best for this team. Again, in the times where we felt this organization has been successful, there, at least to the, you know, fans' eyes and ours, there was a clear delineation between, you know, GM, head coach, or GM and whoever else, president or whatnot. That's when they had success, whether it was the great Floyd Reese, late great Floyd Reese, or, you know, John Robinson. And he did a hell of a job at being a GM. But in those two instances, at least from the outside, we knew. Well, he has say and he has say. The last couple of years, it's been, you know, throw at a dartboard. Whatever face you hit, that's who's in charge today. That's how it was. And I think this is the first step again. I think this is the first step to hopefully, you know, this franchise really invest in changing and changing for the better.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction to the Titans breaking news, which broke right before we came on the air. Mike Borgonzi's in charge now. He's the captain now. He's picking the players. He's leading the head coaching search. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we were treated to a wide range of games over the past 2 days in the college football playoff, and we will discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. The NFL Game of the Week is the Dolphins versus the Patriots on Sunday at 3:25 here on 102.5 The Game. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Massaro in 12 South.
With the way you guys have turned around this program, you keep setting a new standard for the greatest moment in Indiana history. First, it was winning a game like Oregon on the road. Then it was beating Ohio State for the Big Ten Championship. Now it's winning the Rose Bowl for the first time and going to the semifinals. How would you describe the turnaround and what you've been able to build in a short period of time?
It'd be a hell of a movie.
That was Indiana head football coach Kurt Cignetti after Indiana put the smackdown on Alabama yesterday in the college football playoff. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you.
The music, by the way. Who's got the rotation?
Who would you guess has the rotation based on what you've heard
like
so far?
D-Maze vibe.
You are absolutely incorrect.
Absolutely.
It was me. It was me.
See?
Nice. Nice. You changed it up because usually you got something real edgy. Even your Christmas music was like edgy.
I will just say that it took me a while to find a clean instrumental version of Tupac's Hit 'Em Up, which is just what you heard just now. But I was on the 90s hip-hop kick over the past few days, so that's what we're getting today. But we were okay, also treated.
Were you inspired at all by the P. Diddy Netflix special?
I have not yet watched the P. Diddy Netflix special.
Buckle up. Buckle up if you want to watch that. But everybody's been
– No Diddy.
Everybody on our traveling party has been watching that and just gasping, shall we say, watching all that. But the music, of course, during that time is a little bit of what you're saying there. I was coming back to the memories of some of that stuff.
Yes, we'll have more throughout the program, but we were treated to a wide range of games over the past 2 days in the college football playoff. It started with Miami pulling off another upset and knocking out Ohio State, guaranteeing us a new national champion. Then Oregon's defense suffocated Texas Tech. As I just said, Indiana put the smackdown on Alabama, and in the best game perhaps of the year, Ole Miss rallied to defeat Georgia last night. So we have Oregon versus Indiana in the Peach Bowl, a rematch from earlier this season that Indiana won. I am seeing the line at the moment as Indiana -4 at the Peach Bowl. And we have Ole Miss versus Miami at the Fiesta Bowl, Miami favored by 3 points. So I do have a question for both Derek and Willie. But before we do that, let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com and welcome in Zach in Bellevue. Zach, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Pleasure to hear y'all's voices. For me, Indiana seemed – they just seemed like a monster, like a boa constrictor. I mean, it seemed like the harder that Alabama went ahead and tried to grasp for air, that the harder that constrictor – went around their vital organs, and I just thought like it was a mismatch on paper. I mean, you got all these 4 and 5 stars, and then you have this puny Indiana team. I'll hang up and listen, guys. Love the conversation.
Vivid imagery there. Yeah. We appreciate that. But here's the question I have for both of you, and we'll start with
the vital organs.
Yes, we'll start with Willie. What is your headline coming out of the quarterfinal round of the college football playoff?
Hands down, it's Indiana for me. And there's a lot of candidates, by the way, but Indiana just throttling Alabama the way they did. I was absolutely shocked. And you know me. What am I, Adam? An SEC snob.
Indeed you are.
And they got their clock clean. This did not look to me like, hey, you know, Alabama, they traveled a long way and they just had a bad day. I got the feeling watching that if they played 10 times, Indiana would win 9. And I might be being generous. It just looked like that. Indiana was just better. It was domination. And that was – it's just – and Kirk Herbstreit, I thought, did a pretty good job of trying to hit people with that realization of what we were seeing, right? And everybody had the same thing. This is Alabama and Indiana. And Indiana is whipping them from start to finish. I was so impressed with what they did. I know it's coming. You know Dr. Locke, D-Mace, is going to be calling and flexing the Big Ten muscles because the SEC hasn't had a great postseason here, whether the playoffs or the other bowls, and the Big Ten looks great.
The headline for me is physicality wins because each one of these games, even, you know, you look at the Ole Miss Georgia game. That was a physical game, and Ole Miss made enough plays in the end to win that, and they were the most physical team in the end. Listen, that was a huge stop by Ole Miss when Alabama was going in, getting ready to go up 4 points.
Georgia.
Yeah. Getting ready to go up 3 or 4 points. That was a huge stop by Ole Miss. They were a physical team, and they stopped Georgia and held them to a field goal. And then they ensued and got a big play, a money play. Those are money plays right there. That deep pass down the left sideline, one-on-one. They thought so much or so less of your receivers that they chose to play them one-on-one, man-to-man. Because, one, they didn't think your offensive line can hold up, but then they didn't think your receivers can get open that fast.
And this is the play that set up the game-winning
exactly,
field goal.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when I look at each one of these games, even the Ole Miss and Georgia game, physicality outright wins, whether it's Miami, Miami looked like the team that won a national championship years ago. They look like Bane. That team embodies him. Whatever he is, that team is. And that's how they play.
Future Tennessee Titan Reuben Bain, question mark?
He could be. Whether you look at that game, obviously, you know, Indiana basically Alabama. That's what they did. If you would have ripped the names off the jersey, you would have thought that other red team was Alabama, and the other team.
The colors are kind of similar.
Yeah, the other team was Indiana. That's how I saw that game. I saw visions of Alabama running backs running, whether it's Ingram or Henry or one of these bruising backs. When you saw wide receivers making plays, I thought back to Amari Cooper, Judy, those guys making these huge plays, Devontae Smith. When you saw that defense playing, that looked like an Alabama defense. I'm not sure if Indiana continues to play like this, no one can beat them because they are a well-balanced team. And the crazy part about it, the Heisman Trophy winner didn't even have to play a great game.
It was easy. He had 16 passes. It was a dummy offense. You know, like, this is easy. We can run whatever play we want. The physicality thing, Derek, I thought the defining play, I think it might have been 3-0 at the time. Alabama's got the ball. Mm-hmm. They're in their own territory. It's 4th-and-1. They come up in like a wildcat. Indiana's like, okay, let's call timeout here. And then Alabama comes in as if they're going to try to draw them offside. And then it's like, oh, no, we're going to go for it 4th-and-1. We're Alabama. We're gonna get a yard here. We're not worried about it, even though we're on our own 30 or whatever there. And Indiana was like, "Bring it on," and they stuffed them right there. And from then on, it was over.
And they
cashed in right there.
They were playing without their best defensive lineman, Indiana, and they still were able to go out. Indiana, and I've watched Indiana several times throughout the year. They are the real deal. This is a team that, you know, Cignetti put together some veteran guys. Yeah, you can call them veterans. They're not second, third, fourth. You call them veterans now. Veteran guys that are playing at a level that you would have never thought Indiana could play. And they're doing it consistently.
It is remarkable what Kurt Cignetti has been able to do at Indiana. I just want to quickly, before we get to our phones, I want to give a shout out to the field crew at the Sugar Bowl who had to take that stage off the field and on the field and off the field and on the field at the end of the Sugar Bowl because of the safety at the end and the confetti was everywhere. That was so stupid. Shout out to the people who had to lug that stage on the field and off the field and on the field and off the field. You are the true champions of the Sugar Bowl other than Ole Miss. Let's go to Adam from Portland on our phone line. Adam, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, two things, man. Number one, screw Lane Kiffin. And I'm so happy for Ole Miss and the Ole Miss fans. Number two, I got to give Amy credit because I didn't think she was very good at really doing anything. And I think it's like she listened to people go, hey, we need a voice. The fans need a voice. We're spending a lot of money. We got the final season at this stadium. We need direction. And she's like, okay, everybody follow Borgonzi. And I like that. Like, I've already seen negative feedback about it, but I think she did the right thing coming public with that today.
Thank you for the call, Adam. We have one texter who says, can we just finally put the nail in the coffin and say that Alabama is not Nick Saban's Alabama anymore? They absolutely should not have been in the playoff. A 3-loss team should not have been in there. Quickly, Derek.
I get it. No, they're not the Nick Saban's Alabama. They're nowhere near that. But I'm not sure, especially with NIL and transfer portal, people are putting the nail in the coffin on Alabama. And, you know, listen, rightfully so. I get it. You know, many people feel they didn't deserve to be in it. But hell, didn't they win last week? And they did it in a fashion where people, oh my goodness, Alabama's back. But then they come back and they play a team that is more superior.
They were
than they
run
are.
Off the field by two of their past three opponents. They were run off Georgia. The field by Georgia in the SEC mm-hmm. title game, and they were embarrassed
but
yesterday.
I don't think Alabama is nail in a coffin. They're over. If this was the old, you know, the old West, where there were kind of guidelines to what you do. You couldn't, you know, do certain things, even though we know some universities did. If it was that, then I would say, okay, yeah, because it's going to take them a while, because now players are going other places and they just don't want to go to Alabama. And Alabama had their lows. But this is today's college football. Alabama could be Alabama again. They just got to go get one or two people, one or two players, and they can be Alabama once again and find themselves, especially with the college football playoffs expanding, find themselves right back in the playoffs.
615-737-1025. We will take your reaction to the college football playoff quarterfinals. Some outstanding games. We've got four teams left. We've got Oregon. We've got Alabama. We definitely do not have Alabama. We have Oregon. We have Indiana. We have Ole Miss. We have Miami. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I have three questions related to the college football playoff that I want to ask Willie and Derek. So we will do a little rapid fire college football playoff edition coming up next. 615-737-1025. You can also participate once you hear the questions. Of course, the Game Nashville Sports Network is your home for college football bowl games presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Twin Peaks. Tonight, right here on 1025, Wake Forest takes on Mississippi State in the Duke's Mayo Bowl at 7 o'clock. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowlgames.